Man, what a blessing. Two sisters singing together. Amen. That was really good. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Nearly every message I get up and preach here recently, I say things like, well, the world's looking dark and everything's looking bad. And then I preach something. And that's really what's along the line today. We live in a world that's seemingly dark, and not seemingly, it is dark. And you know what, though? Our hope should be in God. Let's never forget, our hope is in the Lord. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, very simple passage, and it'll be a simple message this morning, not a lot of points, and may even get out early and beat the Methodists to lunch today, I don't know. Depends on how this goes. A lot of amens might help. The intention of the message this morning is to be an encouragement. I hope that's what it is. And it was encouraging my heart as I studied it. Because I am a news junkie. I am all the things. And we do have to remember that the president is not our hope. The government's not our hope. The school system's not our hope. You know, even our local government's not our hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Look at verse 13. Now the God of, what does it say? Hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we have to come and to humbly come before you. And we do pray, Lord, that you would give us that peace and joy and hope. We pray, God, would be an encouragement this morning to everyone who's come out. In Jesus' name, amen. The context of this particular passage, and I'm not going to go into it all, but Paul is simply reminding them to be like-minded, the church there in Rome, that they are to glorify God together and to love each other, Jew and Gentile together. And then here, you notice the sentence ends in verse 12, and then he comes on with this verse. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." This is Paul's prayer for them. After explaining to them, again, to love each other, to be unified in the Lord, both Jew and Gentile, he prays that they might have peace, that they might have joy, and they might find that peace and joy and hope. Can I remind you this morning that God is the author of hope? That he is the foundation of all hope? That he is the builder and finisher of our hope? That he is, again, our hope? Notice it says there the joy and peace and hope are given. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's something we simply believe and that God gives to us. Not something we attain. In other words, we are not to be seeking joy. We are not to seek peace necessarily. But as we seek the Lord, he gives us those things. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. And in turn, that gives us hope. The hope, the joy, and the peace the world gives is fleeting. In other words, the hope that's out there, the hope that the world gives is temporary. A person, and again, I've dealt with it over the years, people who have been addicted to certain things, whether it be alcohol, and they think, well, the alcohol will, I can drink the alcohol and my problems will go away. Yeah, but they only go away temporarily. Just the matter of time which you forget them. But they're right back. One of the things we're finding over the last 10, 15 years is people who are addicted to prescription drugs. And they find themselves addicted and chained to those things. And they think they'll get joy and peace out of those things. But listen, that joy and peace only comes temporarily. It's kind of like, and I've used this illustration lately too, because I think maybe for us Christians, we have a tendency to use things like getaways and vacations to somehow give us joy and give us peace, and they don't. They may help us forget a few things and we can relax, and we need those times of getaway. I'm not saying that. But they're not going to cure the problem. They're not going to cure the emotional, you know, those things. Those things can all be cured through the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. And our well-being is found in the Lord. Not whether or not we can make it to Mexico or not, or the Caribbean or not. Though it's very relaxing, And I'm not preaching against that because I'm going to go there, right? I'm just saying that doesn't cure what ails you. Just like a baseball game will not. I'm not saying you shouldn't go and relax. I'm just saying some of those things do not produce what you think they produce, because the joy and the peace that those things bring are fleeting. They just temporary. But the joy and the peace I find in the Lord are permanent. And that's given to me. As I seek the Lord, as I seek to know Him more, as I place my hope in Him, He gives me that peace and He gives me that joy. By the way, we can drink as much of the joy of the Lord as we want and don't get sick, right? Some of y'all got that one. If Paul prayed that we could experience this joy and this peace, this hope, then it must be attainable. And for you this morning, for myself, it is attainable. We can experience joy. How? How do we receive this joy and this peace? Well, it says it, by believing. By believing. Joy and hope in believing. That word believing is connected to believing in God. Believing in God. Believing in the Lord. Putting our trust. That word believing means to trust. To trust in Him. We put our trust in Him. He brings peace. He brings joy. Like nothing else can. We think about that again. We think about how does that come about? So if the Lord brings joy, if our joy and peace is found in believing in the Lord, then we have to find a place in which we can learn about the Lord. Oh man, look what happens. Every sermon comes back to this, doesn't it? As we read our Bibles, as we get to know the Lord more, as we attend church, as we give, as we pray, as we do those basics of Christianity, which is attend church faithfully, right? Yeah. Give, pray, tell others of Jesus, read our Bibles. As we do those basics and we get to know the Lord more, as we develop a personal relationship with the Lord, then the Lord in turn, as we learn more about Him and trust in Him, He in turn gives us that peace and joy. Everybody see that? Everybody, again, it's a pretty simple verse. That hope and peace are found in believing. Believing in who? The Lord. Believing God. Our hope is in God. Believing and trusting in Him. And the only way, if we're going to believe in God, then we must know about Him. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written, it's just a page back, maybe on the same page you're on. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now, that's one of my favorite verses because it's talking about the Old Testament is there for our learning. That the Old Testament was written primarily for New Testament saints. This is like an extra this morning. This is just totally extra for those of you. All right, we're going to chase one rabbit because I feel like we ought to. The Old Testament was written primarily for New Testament saints. Why? Because the Old Testament saints didn't have all the Old Testament. David, King David, only had 7 or 8 books of the Old Testament. The Old Testament was completed, you know, at the end of the Old Testament when it was completed. So, and then you had 400 years of silence between the last book that was written in the Old Testament and the first book that was written when Christ came and died on the cross for us. So who was the Old Testament written for? Primarily for us, for our learning. In fact, another verse of Corinthians says, for our example. So don't think in this day and age the Old Testament is not applicable to us. It absolutely is applicable to us and relevant to us. It's there for our learning. Listen, we can learn. We can learn from the life of David. We can learn from the life of Samson. We can learn from the nation of Israel and what they went through. So it's there for our learning as an example to us. And so there is your side note. Now back to the message. Look at the last part of that verse. It was written for our turn, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That we might have hope through what? Faith and comfort of the Scriptures. Because it's the Scriptures who in turn tell us who God is. It's through the Scriptures that we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that we might have hope in Christ as He's revealed to us, as He's unveiled to us by way of the Word of God, the sure Word. The sure Word of God. The inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And as we see Jesus Christ, remember Corinthians says there in chapter 3, verse 18, that that we all with open face behold in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in that same image, even from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of God. And you've heard us use that phrase, when the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. As you and I read the Bible, as we search the Scriptures for Jesus Christ and we see Him there in the mirror of God's Word, we see the figure of Jesus, that we in turn are changed by the Spirit of God into that same image, the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we learn more about Him, as we learn more about our Savior, and there in turn, we are transformed, if you would, by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory. By the way, that's my goal as a Christian. My purpose as a Christian is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be like Jesus, to follow in His steps, to do what Jesus would do, to act as Jesus would act, to, again, follow in His steps. As we learn more about the Lord, as we learn more about who God is, as we gain in our knowledge of Him, then in turn, it says here that He gives us peace and joy. Now, believing and trusting in the Lord produces this joy and this peace. And it's joy, it's that peace and joy that in turn produces hope in our life. And this will come more evident here in a moment. In other words, He worketh peace and joy in us, and that produces hope. The Lord gives us peace and joy, and that produces hope. In other words, the God of hope is found in believing in Him and trusting in Him, and that believing and trusting in Him is found by the Word of God, which produces joy, which produces peace, and in turn gives us hope. And then we could follow that same line of thought and say, well, that's also the process by which we are sanctified. That's that what I was just preaching just a while ago, that sanctification is just a good way, a biblical way of saying. I never want to downplay a Bible word. Sanctification is a Bible word. So it's important that we learn Bible words. Sanctification is merely the process by which I am becoming like Christ. It's how God is shaping and molding me into the image of His Son, by way of the Word of God, by me learning about Jesus, and I'm conformed to that image, but also by way of my tests and the trials that come into my life that are there functioning as a tool to mold me and make me into the image of Jesus. Everybody following me? Everybody good? Some of you are going, man, I'm swimming. All right. The joy of the Lord, the peace of God, is found in knowing Him and found in knowing the Lord. And as we know Him, He gives us this peace and He gives us this joy, and then it produces in our life hope. It gives us hope. And then that in turn is part of that process of sanctification, even unto glorification, which will happen when Christ returns for us. I'm looking forward to that day. No more pain, no more sorrow, knees won't hurt, you know, shoulders don't hurt, no more pills, no more doctors, sorry doctors, no more, it's gone. All gone. Glorification when we are in heaven. What a great day that will be. How do we receive joy, peace, and hope? We find joy, peace, and hope is given to us by believing and trusting in God, that He is the God of hope. And that in turn is given to us by, again, reading and appropriating the Word of God, learning of Jesus Christ. And then in turn is given to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that empowers us, the last part of the verse there, the Holy Ghost giving that to us. So, what is joy? So, if we're going to experience this peace and this joy, what is it? Well, we'll start with peace first. Peace is defined as rest. Rest. There's a saying that says, peace is joy resting, and we'll cover that in a moment. But, in other words, it's working in us. I want peace with God first. We preach this around Christmas, that Jesus Christ came to this earth to give peace, to give us peace with God. When I was born in this world, I was born in enmity with God. As a child of Adam, I am born a sinner. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And I am therefore a part of the Adamic race, a part of Adam's family. And the Bible says, again in Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And therefore there is, when I am born in this world, I am born at war, that's what enmity means, at war with God. I am born in opposition against God. I can't say it any plainer, I don't think. I'm at enmity with God. But I can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. By believing, that's what the verse is speaking of here, by believing, putting my trust in the God of hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I accept Christ as my Savior, when I come to Jesus and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I, Lord, forgive me my sins, and Lord, I trust in you, in your life, and your death, and your resurrection as my only means of salvation. And as I put my trust in Him and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I make peace with God through Jesus Christ. And I leave the Adamic family. I disassociate myself with Adam's family. In fact, I would use the word, I'm cut off from Adam's family. And I enter the family of God. And I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in His fountain, cleansed by His blood. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. Woo! Joint heirs with Jesus. I was telling somebody about that yesterday. You understand that God is our Father. That makes Jesus our brother. My dad lives on a farm up in Oklahoma. My dad was an only child. He inherited what my grandparents had. And someday, hope it's not tomorrow or even a few weeks from now, but someday me and my brother will inherit what my dad has. We are joint heirs. Me and my brother are joint heirs together of what my father has given or will give. I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And by the way, he has everything. Let that sink in. I'm joint heirs. I'm a brother of Jesus. I'm a part of the family of God. Peace with God. I want to ask you the question, do you have peace with God this morning? Has there been a moment in time in your life when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to God and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have sinned. And it's because of my sin, again, that you have put the penalty. By the way, the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Has there been a moment in time in your life when you've accepted Christ as your Savior? Because if you're going to have peace, you must first have peace with God. In other words, in order to have the peace of God, you must have peace with God. Now, Christian, this morning, you can have and you can experience the peace of God. That peace the Bible describes as passing all understanding. I've experienced that peace. I know many of you have as well, that peace, that sense of rest, even when things around you are just totally chaotic, even when those things around you are falling completely apart. Even when it seems like you're going to sink into the mire of quicksand and never get out anymore, you can experience peace in your life. How? By believing in God. How? By the Holy Spirit imparting and empowering you, experiencing that peace. You say, preacher, that's platitudes and that's all nice and flowery, but is it real? It's real. I have experienced it. In times of loss, in times of stress, in times of turmoil in my own life, I have experienced without a shadow of doubt the peace that passes all understanding. That it did not make sense. It did not make sense. My reactions to the troubles and problems of my life, to others, I did not react how they thought I would normally react. Or let me put it this way. How a person would normally react without the Lord. But with the Lord, we can have peace. Whatever problem you're experiencing this morning, whatever trial you may be going through, whatever storm in life you may be experiencing this morning, you can have the peace of God. And it's given freely to us. That place of rest. We can experience that joy. What is joy? If peace is rest, then what is joy? Joy is simply inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure, divinely produced inward contentness, even to the point of mirth. It's something, again, that's given to us by the Lord. It's not dictated by circumstances around us. It's simply given to us by the Lord, and it's deep-seated, deep-rooted in our hearts. Joy and peace are found through believing. That's what the verse says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. Now, you come to know the Lord, or the God of hope, through the Word of God, which reveals Him, and by this you are led to believe in Him. And through that believing, everybody following me? I'm going to read this twice. And through that believing, you become filled with joy and peace. I'll read it again. Joy and peace are found through believing. You come to know the Lord of God, the God of hope, through the Word of God, which is, reveals Him, God. By this you are led to believe in Him, and through believing that you might become filled with joy and peace. Believing is the key. Believing, placing your trust in the Lord. When I'm going through a difficult circumstances in my life, if my trust is in the Lord, and I'm not trusting in necessarily the doctor, or I'm not trusting in necessarily getting some overtime, or whatever, but I'm trusting in the Lord, then I have nothing to fear. I have peace, knowing that God will take care of it. He gives us that peace that's found in the Lord. Now, again, and I'm not going to cover this all over again, but not in experiences of feelings, but in believing the book and the God of the book. In other words, I'm not putting my hope in some dream I had last night. Every once in a while I have a dream. When I wake up, I remember them. Some people don't ever remember their dreams. I do. I would say probably 3/4 of them, when I get up in the morning, I can remember. If I wrote them down right then, I could probably give you every detail of them. Sometimes it's scary. But I'm not putting my hope in some dream I had last night. And I've had some good ones. When I wake up in the morning, I'm saying, I wish that was real. And there's been times in which I've had comforting dreams. But they're fleeting. They're not real. There's something my subconscious made up. The Bible, the New Testament tells us absolutely, you can go read it, Hebrews chapter 1, that dreams are no longer a way in which God communicates to us. God does not communicate to anyone through dreams. Get that straight now. God does not communicate through dreams. You don't put your faith in some dream you had. Those dreams are fleeting. They may make you feel good for a moment, but they're gone and over with. Your feelings change. Don't put your hope in your feelings. Don't trust in your feelings. Example. You know, love, absolutely, the biblical definition of love is selflessness, right? To love someone more than you love yourself. To treat them as you'd want to be treated. That is the biblical definition of love. That we're to treat our spouse as we want to be treated. That's the biblical definition. But there's also the love, also it contains within it a feeling of love. Can I tell you, husbands and wives, the feeling of love comes and goes. You say, well, I have always loved my wife. There's not been a day in my life in which I didn't love my wife. I understand that. Biblically, you're selfless towards them, whatever the case is. But that feeling of love, you're telling me you have always felt in love with your spouse. Every day, every minute, always. Feelings change. By the way, what I love about the feeling of love, that feeling, that emotional attachment, that it can be restored as quickly as it went away. And if you're here this morning and you're no longer in love with your spouse, that feeling can return so very quickly. Just start doing the things you did before you got married. Date your wife. Date your husband. I promise you, if you'll do that, the feeling of love will return within a few weeks. It don't even take months. Many times it can happen within a few weeks. It's amazing. Right? Feelings are not to be trusted. They can change. Some people have, emotional roller coasters worse than others. Don't trust your emotions. Help me out now. Don't trust your emotions. Trust the Lord. And really, when we come to life's difficult circumstances, and all of us face them, there's some in here this morning that are facing them, we must put our trust in the Lord. Because He's the one that gives us that peace. He's the one that gives us that joy. But can I tell you, it's not based upon feeling. My trusting in Him is not based upon a feeling. My trust in Him is based upon fact. The facts of the Word of God. Not my opinions, but the fact. I believe God can do anything He wants to do. He is absolutely all-powerful. He can make a rock, he can't pick it up, he can still pick it up. God can do anything. God can do anything. I believe God knows everything. He is all-knowing. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going on in my life. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows they're getting less and less every day. He knows that. By the way, he named all the stars and knows them by name. And the stars are eternal. Isn't that amazing? God knows everything. God is all-powerful. He's omniscient. Man, let us remember to put our trust in Him. What I've just said are facts. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. Those are facts. Those are not opinions. That's not some feeling I have. Those are facts based upon the Word of God, and therefore I can trust the facts that the Word of God gives me. And as I believe and I trust in the facts, then it brings to my life joy and peace. Right? Many times, you're having more difficulty than you should in life as far as the way you react or don't react to a problem in your life because your God is way too small. And you're forgetting about the facts of who God is, His attributes, His characteristics, and that He can be trusted. Again, it's not experience or feelings, but believing the book, the Bible, the God of the book, and the not in feelings, but in facts found in the Word of God. We think about the word hope, so joy, peace, hope. Hope means not hope like, I hope I'm going to get ice cream after lunch, and I probably won't. I don't think I'm getting any ice cream, am I? No. I hope I do, but I'm not going to. Okay? That's not what the Bible means when it uses the word hope. When the Bible uses the word hope, it means confident expectation. Like, we are looking forward to the hope of His return. Does that mean He's not? He may or may not return? No, that word hope there means confident expectation. It's going to happen. In other words, it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. My hope is in God. It's just a matter of time. God always keeps His word to me. He's promised to never leave me nor forsake me. That's a hope in God. I can place my confidence in it. That it's real, that it's true. My hope is found in the Holy Ghost and His power. What does it say there? That through the power of the Holy Ghost, that hope may abound towards me. Jesus said that we might have joy, might have it abundantly. Here it speaks about the word abound. That means to go further. It means to go higher than anyone can imagine. To go beyond that, what we may think is feasible. Our hope may abound. I'll tell you what, He can go above and beyond anything that we think or ask. God is so big. Hope abounding in the believer's life is a product of joy and peace, which is a product of belief. As I experience peace in my life, the peace with God, the peace of God, and in turn experience joy, then in turn I will experience hope. And I'm glad today I have hope. I have hope in the Lord. Hope is believing in the ultimate regardless of the immediate. Joy is belief in the ultimate, regardless of the immediate. I experience joy, doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I can experience joy. The joy of the Lord. So what? So what, preacher? So what? Paul simply prayed that you might have hope in God. That you might be filled with all joy and peace. What's that word filled means? Well, it's kind of like going to Christmas dinner. We always have Christmas dinner about 2 o'clock because it takes that long to kind of get everything together, right? When I sit down to Christmas dinner, which some of you would call lunch, those of you from the city, I sit down to Christmas lunch, dinner. I don't sit down expecting to just to get a sampling of the product on the table. I'm not going to get a sampling. I'm going to get filled with the meal that's on the plate, on the table. I'm going to get filled. In fact, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm going to get filled more than I should. Can I tell you? The Holy Spirit of God will fill you with joy and peace above and beyond what normally would take place in our lives. Paul said that it may abound to you. Think of that Christmas dinner, that Thanksgiving dinner. Believing and trusting in the Lord, putting my confidence in Him, and in turn, this hope abounds towards me by way of the Holy Ghost. It's not earned, it's given. As I seek the Lord, as I put my hope and trust in Him, then in turn, I experience joy and peace. Look at Romans chapter 5. Turn back just a few pages and we're done. Romans chapter 5, look with me in verse 1. Therefore, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. That word justified means just as if I'd never sinned. That my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. We have peace with God. That's what I just preached on. Not necessarily here, the peace of God, but peace with God. That I was in enmity with God, and through Jesus Christ, I received peace with God. I'm glad today I stand before you at peace with God. Amen. If you're here this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The first step is to have experience peace with God. And you can come. We're going to sing a verse here in just a moment. You can come to the altar, and we'll show you from the Bible how you can have peace with God. And then, in turn, experience that joy and peace of God and hope. By whom also, verse 2, you have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. What? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We experience the peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith and believing, we rejoice, verse 2, in the hope that is in God. Verse 3 and 4, even in tribulation, we can experience the same hope. By what? By way of the Holy Ghost. My hope is in the Lord. By the way, that old song that says, my hope is in the Lord, I can't keep it to myself. We ought to tell others of this hope. I'm telling you, we can get so distracted with what's going on in the world today. Christian, listen. We get so distracted, get so caught up, get our minds so far out there and forget that our hope is found in God. And that if this world is going to find peace that it's seeking, if this world is going to find the joy that it's seeking, it's found in the Lord. And we need to share that hope with others. Maybe that person at the workplace that comes to you and just having a meltdown over the political arena today. Well, maybe you should say, hey, you know, remember, our hope is not found in the political arena. Our hope is found in the Lord. And share that hope in order that person might have peace and joy. Christian, this morning, are you experiencing the peace of God? Christian, this morning, are you experiencing the joy of the Lord? And are you experiencing hope? Peace and joy, and in turn produces hope. Are you? If not, why don't you come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm not experiencing the peace and joy that I should as a Christian. Lord, would you, through the Holy Spirit, give me that peace? Lord, you know what I'm facing. You know I'm facing a difficult circumstance. You know what's going on in my life. Lord, will you give me peace during this time? And guess what? He'll give it to you. You don't even have to earn it. He'll give you peace if you'll come and ask for it. But come ask for it. The Holy Spirit will shed it abroad in your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love. Lord, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for the joy that we experience through the knowledge of you and your dear Son. And in turn, Lord, we thank you for that hope. Lord, we're looking so forward to the day of your Son's return, that blessed hope. But Lord, until you return, help us as Christians to experience the peace of God. Help us to experience joy beyond and above, and that it might abound in our life. And Lord, help us to continue to hope in you, not in others, not in this world, but in you. We'll thank you for what you'll do, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name.